What we have already established this far, that anger is something which cannot be eradicated. It is something which it is there. It's a natural quality of men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it there. And all anger is not necessarily bad. That anger which is channeled in the right direction is a good anger. And that which is channeled in the wrong direction is not good anger. What we need to do is, we cannot eradicate anger, but we need to channel it in the right direction. And how do we know what is the right direction and what is the wrong direction? That we see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it has been said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when anybody harmed him in his personal capacity, then he used to suppress his anger and he used to forgive and overlook. However, when he saw the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being committed, then his anger knew no bounds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get so angry that his Mubarak face used to get red, as if pomegranate juice was poured on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So red the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get when he used to see the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, unfortunately, we see that we are the opposite. When we see the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being committed, our children are not dressing Islamically, they are not performing their salah, they are going out to the wrong places, then we do not get angry. But if somebody harms us in our personal capacity, swears us, insults us, backbites about us, then we are not prepared to forgive, and then we want to show the full might of our wrath, so to speak, and we want to show how angry we can become, and we want to take revenge, whereas in reality it's supposed to be the other way. Now we continue with this discussion, inshallah. We're speaking about kindness also in this aspect of anger management. Once Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became angry with a relative and said, "By Allah, I will not do kindness to you anymore." However, this relative had earned Allah's acceptance because of his participation in the Battle of Badr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore interceded on his behalf, where the Quranic ayat was revealed, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. What had actually happened was, we all know the famous incident when Ma'isha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was accused of adultery by the Munafiqeen. Then a few of the Sahaba also took part in this accusation, and one of them was the close relative of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, and he was a poor relative, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to help him out financially. So naturally, because he took part in this accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Abu Bakr felt very hurt. And in order to try and console his daughter, he then took this oath that he's not going to help him financially anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, that overlook and forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, do you not want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must also forgive you? Then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum broke his oath, he paid compensation for it, and he took another oath and he said, "By Allah, I love that Allah forgives me, so I too forgive my relative, and now I will do more kindness to him than ever before." These were the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who forgave people's mistakes, and thereafter even do acts of kindness to them. For Allah loves those who are kind. In this ayah which we mentioned last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that person who suppresses his anger, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and he forgives people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do good. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a perfect example of that. Now we were talking and we were saying that look at this incident. He had accused his daughter of adultery. Imagine if somebody has to do this, and not any daughter, the daughter who was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu forgave him and started doing even more ihsan, more favor upon him that he was doing before. So today, people over nitty gritty business deals, or because they insulted us, or because maybe they never invited us to their wedding or to their daughter's wedding, etc., then we get angry and we don't want to forgive. This is not what Islam has taught us. In support of this commentary, Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated an incident about Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's grandson, who was known as Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu. His slave girl was once helping him to make wudu when the water can slipped from her hand, fell on his head, and wounded him. Hazrat Ali ibn Hussein rahmatullah alayhi looked at her angrily. The slave girl, being a hafiza of the Quran Kareem, immediately started reciting the verse from the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's special servants are those who swallow the anger. Hazrat Ali ibn Hussein rahmatullah alayhi immediately replied, "I have swallowed my anger." His immediate action was because of his acceptance of the word of Allah. It was not important to him who had recited it. He did not think that it is only a slave girl reciting, so why should he accept it? But rather, when the talks of a great being are spoken by small people, then it is the word of Allah Rabbul Izzah, no matter who speaks it. Do not look at the insignificance of the speaker, but rather appreciate these great talks. The slave girl then proceeded to recite the verse which says, "And those who forgive people," Hazrat Ali said, "If you forgive, I forgive your mistake." She then continued, "And Allah loves those who are kind." First, he mentioned the part, "Wal kadhimin al ghayd," those who suppress the anger. He said, "I have suppressed my anger." Then he went on to mention, "Wal afina anin nas," and they forgive people. He said, "I have forgiven you." And then the last part of the ayah, "Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin," that Allah loves those who are kind. Hazrat Ali bin Hussein, rahmatullah alayhi, replied, "Go, I free you for the sake of Allah." This was his kindness. So not only did he suppress his anger, but on top of it, he forgave her. And on top of that, he did goodness. As this ayah instructs us, the three stages. And this is what is befitting of a Muslim. This is how a Muslim should react. If somebody makes us angry, if somebody does something which is not befitting for him to have done or for her to have done, and especially when it comes to our own family people, when it comes to our children, our wives, etc., then we always need to show forgiveness and firstly suppress our anger. That anger is going to be there. We discussed this in detail in the last program when we discussed anger management, that anger is something that cannot be eradicated. It's in a natural quality in men. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention in the Quran al-Kareem that do not get angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that suppress your anger, meaning and indicating that the anger will definitely be there. All you need to do is suppress it and to channel it in the right direction. So after that, also forgive the person. After suppressing your anger and after forgiving him, then the best is also to do some good towards him. As Hazrat Abu Bakr had done, what he had done was he actually gave more financial support than what he was giving before. And then Hazrat Ali bin Hussein, not only did he suppress his anger, he didn't get angry, she dropped the jug on his head and injured him. He forgave her also, and he done ihsan upon her, he done her a favor, he was kind and good towards her, he freed her. Now I wish to narrate another incident here. The founder of the Tablighi Jamaat and the uncle of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, that is Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, was sitting at a place where Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith had became angry with an attendant and was scolding him. The attendant was asking for forgiveness, saying that he had made a mistake and that he was human after all. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi replied that had he done it once or twice, it would have been understood, but he had committed this mistake a dozen times. How much more must he tolerate it? This was how Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi was saying, how much more must I tolerate you? You make this mistake over and over again. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi told him in his ears, "Maulana, tolerate as much as you want to be tolerated," meaning forgive as much as you want to be forgiven. So do not say how much you must tolerate, but forgive as much as possible. Sometimes a person in anger says, "This person never does anything right. He is always making mistakes." So what? Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum used to say that some people have less intelligence than others. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi, said that if perfect intelligence is 98 degrees, then Allah has given some people only 97.5 degrees. And these people are sometimes simple and childish. If your own child was like this, what would you have done? Surely you would have overlooked his or her weaknesses with softness. Therefore, check and take stock of one with less intelligence accordingly. Do not compare one of 97 degrees to one with 98 degrees. Yet, knowing all of this, some people say in anger, "He knows everything. He is doing this just to trouble me." This foolish point is created in the mind by Shaitan. Because we need to forgive for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of who it is. Moving on now a little bit, I want to discuss this point that it is pride that leads one to anger. This is the cause. You see, when we discussed the issue of Jadu, we said that the underlying cause was jealousy, because people could not see anybody else coming up in life or enjoying the ni'mah, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the cause for Jadu. When it comes to anger, a underlying cause and the underlying internal disease is pride. An angry person thinks himself to be very great. Pride is hidden in his folds of anger. When he is angry at someone, his intention is to degrade that person and prove his own greatness. When anger arises, him look at his face or put a mirror in front of him and tell him to see for himself, or record his angered voice on a tape and let him listen to it. A human being never realizes his own illnesses. He may say that his anger is for the sake of Allah, but this assumption of his can never be reliable. He should have it tested by a spiritual guide who has far more sightedness and will tell him if his anger is right. But the one who says he is always right is in fact the wrong one. One who tells his spiritual guide that he does not know anything, and that the one who is the target of his anger is such and such, then know that he thinks his spiritual guide to be a fool. We sometimes fool ourselves in thinking that, no, my anger is justified. I am doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But really, we need somebody to check the underlying causes, a spiritual doctor. Sometimes we think we have a flu, but it is more serious. That's why we need a medical doctor. So sometimes we may think that our anger is for the right purposes, but we need somebody to check, is it in reality for the right purposes? In anger, if you have oppressed someone, never be ashamed to ask forgiveness for him. Please him in this world, otherwise you will be sorry on the day of Qiyamah. And sometimes, again, this issue of pride comes to the fore. That when we have harmed someone, we feel very difficult to ask that particular person for forgiveness. We feel, no, it's very difficult, and we feel ashamed. This is also as a result of pride. We need to realize that rather go and ask him. Make yourself small and ask that person for forgiveness in this dunya. Otherwise, you will be sorry on the day of Qiyamah. To illustrate this, let's listen to a story about the status of that person, what status a person will get who makes amends in this dunya and has his anger treated. Once Hazrat Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi got extremely angry at a person. Although he was a great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was after all only human and he also made mistakes. The person with whom he got angry was a villager who was a little bit backward. His village was about 1.5 miles away from Pulpur, to which he returned. After the villager had left, Hazrat regretted having become so angry at him. He therefore set out for that village after Asr to ask forgiveness for the villager. A great buzruk like this, Hazrat Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi, going to the villager who lives in a village and also is a little bit backward, but to ask him for maaf. And there was no thing of pride, and I am such a big sheikh and I got so much status, how can I go ask him for maaf? No, he went walking to and ask for maaf. Hazrat relates that he was so upset over what he had done that he could not think straight and he even lost his way. Somehow he searched for the way through the fields and finally he reached the village quite late. Hazrat asked the man to forgive him for the sake of Allah as he had wronged him. The villager would not agree, saying, "You are a great Maulana and I am an ignorant one. You are like my father and a father has rights upon his son." Hazrat said to him, "I don't know what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Only then will it be known who is small and who is great." Allahu Akbar, what a great statement. Today we think we are very great because we have some knowledge or we have some status or we have some wealth. But on the day of Qiyamah, then we will see. Because sincerity is very important and we don't know who has acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat went further on to tell him, "Until you do not tell me that you have forgiven me, I will not move from here." The person then said, "All right, only because you are commanding me, in order to please you, I will say that I have forgiven you. But otherwise, you have great rights over me. I do not need to even forgive you." This was the humility of that villager. But Hazrat did not let pride intervene and he insisted that that particular person forgive him. Now look what happened. When Hazrat Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi made himself small and he corrected his mistake in this dunya and he asked that villager for forgiveness. Now look what happened. On that same night when he returned, Hazrat saw in his dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu were sitting in a boat, and a little distance from them, he was sitting alone in another boat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum to join Hazrat Pulpuri's boat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's own boat. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu joined them, it made such a beautiful sound, the enjoyment of which Hazrat was still feeling right up to the time he narrated the dream. Look at what an immense reward was given for humbling oneself and being regretful. Thus were the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lowered themselves. They did not let pride intervene. They made themselves small and they asked forgiveness. We need to realize that we need to forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody has wronged us, we need to forgive him or her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, once mentioned in a lecture that a woman put extra salt in the food by mistake. Her husband thereupon decided this matter with Allah and said, "Oh Allah, she has made a mistake by making the food salty. So for your sake, I forgive this wife of mine who is your bondswoman. She has a connection with you. Therefore, I forgive her." All this he thought in his heart and forgave his wife and did not tell her anything. After he had passed away, somebody saw him in a dream and asked him how he had fared. He replied, "Bhai, matters are very frightening. Great sins of mine were presented, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me that he forgave me and I am free to go, as one day I forgave his bondswoman," meaning my wife, for making the food too salty. How would we like our son-in-law to treat our daughter if she makes a mistake? Would we not like that he should forgive her? When the son-in-law troubles our daughter, we run to the buzrugs for ta'weezes and duas. Similarly, our wives are also somebody else's daughters. Must we not show mercy to them? We argue and fight so much with them that they cry inside and they have no one to complain, especially if they're living far away from their parents or the in-laws, etc. Remember, brothers out there, the sighs and the laments of your wives will also catch up with you one day. This does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to task. Remember, if you make zulam, if you are unjust, if you are cruel, if you are not kind to your wives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to task and you will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. To illustrate this, there is a very, very interesting story of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi. When the rains of knowledge stopped falling on the heart of the revivalist, that is the mujaddid, and the reform of the time because of harm caused to animals, then what will one's condition be for troubling human beings? One day, Maulana Thanvi, who was this mujaddid as I'm talking about, his wife had to go out. So she told him to unlock the chicken pen and to put corn and water for the fowls. Hazrat completely forgot about it and sat down to do his writing and replying his letters. However, all the noor of knowledge and topics of recognition closed on him, and he was getting no inspiration, so much so that he could not reply one letter nor write his commentary of Bayanul Quran, a very famous commentary of the Quran Kareem written by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayh. Upon this, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah should open upon him the secret, for perhaps he has made some mistakes as a result of which this has happened to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in his heart that our creation, meaning the fowls, are locked up without food and water. How can we bestow you with topics when our creation is suffering? Hazrat immediately opened the chicken pen, gave them food and water, and just then his heart opened up and knowledge started flowing in. So if this is the condition of the chickens and the fowls, if they do not have, and if there's a little bit of oppression on them, imagine when we oppress our own wives, when we impress our own Muslim brothers and sisters, imagine what is going to be the condition then, because these are human beings, these are the ashraful makhluqat, the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to anger, as I mentioned before, we need to realize another important point when we want to eradicate anger. And that important point is the point of kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned in a hadith, do not make the animals back your pulpits. Meaning that if you need to talk to someone, get off the animal and talk, for animals are not for this purpose. Islam enjoins great mercy to animals. Today we have these animal rights activists, etc. This is nothing new to Islam. Islam has always enjoined the rights of animals. But Islam is also a religion of moderation. We do not go to extremes on either side, not to the cruelty of animals, but not to raising the animals to the stage and to the status of human beings. Anyway, if it is forbidden to trouble animals, then friends, what is the condition of those people who trouble their wives and who take out and vent their anger on their wives? How much of Allah's punishment are we not inviting upon ourselves for this particular action? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, those with the most perfect iman are the ones whose character is the best, and the best amongst you is the one who treats his wife well. We learn from this that the highest standard of best character is good treatment to the wife. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi has related a hadith in tafsir, in the Ruhul Ma'ani, his tafsir, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, those husbands who are merciful, their wives overpower them. This means they start speaking sharply. They become playful towards a husband and do a coquetry, but they do have rights. And this is not necessarily always a bad thing. When our wives are like this, we should not get angry. We should realize it is because I am merciful towards her and I should be merciful towards her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh Aisha, when you are angry with me, I come to know of it. Because when you say by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when she takes an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when she says, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when she mentions like this, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to know she was angry with him. And when you are happy with me, then you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So women do have a right of getting upset. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to get upset with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now let us understand this very clearly. This was not in her relationship with him as a Nabi and her as a follower, because in that case we cannot get upset with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was in a husband and wife relationship. What is a totally different relationship? Alayhi billah, this does not mean that we can get upset with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alayhi billah. So the hadith says that these women overpower men who are kind. But men that are ill-tempered and possess bad character shout, beat, and fight with their wives and overpower them. It is said that in certain places, husbands beat their wives on the first night to create a fear in their hearts for them. Astaghfirullah. What oppression and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I prefer to be suppressed but kind with regards to my wives. I do not want to be ill-tempered and overpower them. Naturally, when husbands are ill-tempered and when they are physically and mentally and verbally abusive towards their wives, then they will gain control over their wives. They will make them submissive due to their fear. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I prefer to be suppressed. I rather let them have a little bit leeway and get a little bit out of hand, but rather be kind so that I don't have to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi says that those people who reject Allah's intercession with regards to women, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that treat them kindly, these people are shameless. If some great person commands us to protect and look after the wife, we shall take pains in fulfilling the order of such an important personality. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most high, is commanding us to treat our wives well, then how much more importance should be given to this order? Let us ponder deeply over what is said and what is to be done and what we are doing. Coming back to the subject of anger, to swallow anger is a great training of the self, because anger is a fire and to control it is very difficult. So rewards upon it are also very great, and one attains experience according to one's training. So the point I'm making here is that anger is something which is very fiery, difficult to control. And we have a usul in Sharia which the fuqaha explain, that the more mashaqqat there is in a certain thing, meaning that the more difficulty there is in a certain thing, the more reward a person will get for attaining it. That's why they say when you go for walking hajj, there is more difficulty in it, therefore you will get more reward than going by conveyance. So also with anger, because it is more difficult to control the anger, similarly, it is more rewarding when a person will control his anger. So thus, inshallah, is where we're going to terminate our discussion on anger management for today.